up, everybody? It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm JD Bungus. Blake Murphy, wearing a very nice Toronto Maple Leafs hat on the Zoom today. Love it. It's beautiful. It's that, like, really bluey blue, where it just, you know, it makes Groban's ladies pop. I don't hear anybody today. I don't hear Blake.
Oh?
Ailish. Oh, hello, Ailish. Hello.
Guess who's back?
Yeah, Ailish Farfar is here.
I'm trying to figure this thing out.
I wasn't going to throw you under the bus like that, but yeah, you figured it out in the nick of time. I focused on Blake before I focused on you for a reason, you know? Good morning, good morning, good morning. So yeah, Ailish Farfar back from her lavish ski vacation, looking like, you know, you're still on the ski trip. You've got, like, the turtleneck thing going on, as though you're about to hit the slopes again today. You are not. You are here to work. Don't forget, you're here forever. Welcome back before you take your vacation in 2 days.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. It's nice to be back in the mix. I missed you guys, but didn't miss much in the world of sports, I'll tell you that.
No. You didn't. You took. It was a good time for you to take a little bit of a vacation, as Blake and I are having conversations going. So another block on depressing COVID stories, or yeah. I think your ski vacation was better. So it looked pretty nice. Looked pretty fancy.
Yeah, we had a great time. We had a wonderful time. Weather was good. Freezing there. It's cold. Like, you're up there.
Yeah. No, I know.
The mountain. Yeah, once you get up to the top of the mountain, after like 2 or 3 chair lifts to get to the top, it's frigid and windy and icy. But yeah, my skiing was amazing. Never fell, especially underneath the chairlift.
Oh, you left liar. That, you never fell
I
one
swear.
Time.
I swear. I never fell.
One time. One
never,
fall.
Never fell. You can ask my friends. I promise. Why would I lie
you
about
know,
that?
You know why we don't believe you? Because you said you never fell and then said, especially not in this location. Yeah. If you are specifying that you didn't fall extra in one spot, that means you fell somewhere else.
Who even says that, though? How old are you? Goes
guys,
on a ski trip.
I'm
I never fell. I never fell.
Because,
like,
JD,
13 years old.
You said, don't fall underneath the chairlift. It's the most embarrassing thing ever. And so every time I was going out of the chairlift, I'm like, I can't fall right now because it's embarrassing.
French fry pizza.
Yeah.
I was very cautious. But no, we had a great time. No injuries. Definitely you use new muscles, though, when you ski. Like, the first day, I was like, whoa. Yeah. I forgot I had an ACL.
Yeah. I forgot an ACL. Oh, that's what your ACL is. Now I feel it. I know it. I'm glad you didn't fall. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad that you were so accustomed to that lifestyle that you thought, as you went on a ski trip in Quebec and you went up into a mountain, you went, it's cold up here. Why is it so chilly? Why don't they turn the heaters on? This is, they should get warmers for the chairlifts. Like, what are they doing? Did you ski to the bottom and complain to somebody? Like, you're like, Jacques, excuse me, Jacques. He's like, my name is Chris.
I was working on my French. I was working on my French. I was like, bonjour, merci, every time you get off the lift. And they're like, shut up, lady.
Yeah. There is nothing more embarrassing than when you're in Quebec and you try to float your French out there and they just dunk on you with the just speak English.
That's exactly what happened.
It's crushing. It's really crushing. Yet another reason to hate Quebec, you know, their lack of welcoming you into trying to do their language. So, more bad news. We're going to do good news stuff, I think. I think there's some good news stuff later in the show today, but the thing we thought was going to happen happened. The thing that Frank Cervelli said to Blake and I on Monday's show, which was, NHL player participation at the Olympics was 99.5. Wow, he really left us a little sliver of hope and then it was just gone. The NHL players will not be at the Olympics. It's been reported by Greg Wyshynski yesterday. It came through. A lot of us were expecting it, but I think if you're someone like me, you had this weird cautious optimism that there could be a miracle, right? And maybe this is just the sports fan in me, because I feel as though I succumb to that type of thinking far too often when it comes to sports. Like, and then this thing will happen, and the buzzer beater will come in, and Stamkos will be at the Olympics, and we'll all be happy. Or that the players were going to put up more of a stink. But it just sucks. It just really sucks. And we have Eric Fair on later in the show, and I know that he could be somebody who's representing us. I just... I can't get over how disappointed I am in this is like more disappointing than any of these shutdowns, anything, knowing that we won't be at the Olympics with our best players for potentially another 4 years is it's very weighty.
Yeah, and I think the crazy thing is within 1 or 2 weeks it shifted so rapidly. Like a couple shows ago, before I was on vacation, it was okay. You know, they're gonna find a way. Stamkos was saying how he really wanted to go, and we had that whole conversation about if he says that he's confident in going, it's probably gonna happen. Everything's gonna be great, and then I come back and nope.
Well, the problem was we didn't know about the clause that the NHL had with material changes to their schedule, right? And that's what's happened here. Is because of this delay, because of these postponements, the NHL has said, hey, listen, we put this into the CBA for a reason. If there are material changes, what's the actual wording? Do you know it, Blake? I love when I throw you under the bus like this, where I'm like, hey, what's the actual verbiage? But essentially, it's just, if there are significant changes to the NHL schedule, they reserve the right to be able to change it in terms of their ability to go to the Olympics. And that's what's happened here. And I got to tell you, if I'm a player, and we have JVR on today, James Van Riemsdyk joining the show at 9:30. And I've seen some of the quotes coming from Connor Hellebuck. I've seen some of the quotes even coming from Sidney Crosby and Steven Stamkos and Kyle Connor, where I would just, those guys seem pissed off. And if I was them, I would have a little bit of an eyebrow raise, and I'd be a little upset here, because here's my prediction. They're not going to go to the Olympics, but I don't think we're going to see another pause in play. Blake and I have talked about this, how, what's the way moving forward? The way moving forward is what the NFL is doing. That's the only way, which is that they're going to start to, I believe anyways, lessen testing on asymptomatic players. They're not going to go with more testing. They're going to go with less testing. It's the only way through this thing. They're not going to shut down seasons anymore. That's done. They're not going to shut down seasons as the NFL continues to operate. Are they going to continue to just rip players in and out of lineups? Are they going to continue this way? I just don't see how it's going to last. They're going to have to make some concessions here off of the Olympic loss, and I believe it's going to be that. And if you're a player, you're saying, so I fought this hard to make sure that the Olympics was in the CBA, and now you guys ended up putting pause on the season right before the Olympics, and now we're going to come back and not do another significant pause to the season. That would annoy me. Maybe it's a bailout. Maybe it's the NHL actually handing some of these guys a bailout. But that's not what I heard with the responses from a lot of these players.
Yeah. So I don't have the exact wording ahead of me or in front of me. I had the CBA open, and because it's an amendment to the CBA after, there's not exact language in it. Other than to say there's like one line that's an amendment that says like, hey, check out this amendment that says we can go to the Olympics in 2022 and 2026. And here are like the all-star implications and stuff. So I don't have the exact wording, but yeah, basically it's felt for a week or two like this was going to happen. And it was kind of a game of chicken between, will the NHLPA decide this, or is the NHL going to have to enforce this clause unilaterally? And then, which, you know, when the schedule has to change, they have the right to do, but you have to look at that through a bit, like, obviously it's not the main issue, but you have to look at it a bit through a collective bargaining and labor lens of like, do you want to use that bullet if you're the NHL, and when do you want to use it, and can you wait out the NHLPA where they say they eventually concede on it too? So all that's to say, yeah, it's a mess. This was coming. I don't know. It's you've got that.
You're not buying my little bit of conspiracy thought here, or my, not conspiracy, but that, hey, this went into their decision making for why the pause happened now. That again, we talk about how these leagues are not acting in the best interest of the public. We like to make it seem that way. All these people are clapping and lauding the NHL for doing the pause, right? Oh, the pause, thank goodness. You saw NBA writers doing that where they went, oh boy, maybe the NBA should do the same thing. I really do believe that a bunch of the reasoning for this pause was not just simply the outbreak, that it was also related to, we got to do this now because this is when we can start to adjust the schedule. This is the only time that we can make these changes. The interesting thing is going to be the stuff about the arenas, that it's not like previous years with, previous years, God, that sounds depressing. It's so true. With COVID, where nobody was using those arenas anyways. Now, the NHL actually has to figure out ways around scheduling for what else has been put into these places. What else is being played here? It's not as simple as just, oh, well, we can inject an NHL game here. We can inject another NHL game there. There's concerts, there's events, there's actual stuff that's happening south of the border that they're not changing as of right now.
And there's the travel consideration, right? When we talk about player health and rest and all that stuff. And I know that their counter would be like, okay, well, we got 49 games or whatever it is to make up over 2.5 weeks now. We can spread that out and we can do it safely and stuff. But yeah, it's not going to be convenient. As far as your conspiracy, I don't think it, you know, it's a nice tiebreaker, and it's certainly, I don't think it's something that they're upset about the way it worked out. But I don't think it was no, the league.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't think they're upset that it played out this way specifically. But no, I think they have to know, even though it's an inconvenience and they don't make money off of it, that the excitement right as the season kind of hits its midseason lull, the excitement that Olympic hockey injects back into the sport is worth more than, you know, the convenience of being able to spread these games out a bit more.
Yeah. As hockey fans, there's probably a tendency for us to overstate the impact that Olympic hockey has on greater sports fandom, right? We do this a lot, or at least we used to, because we haven't had Olympic hockey or men's professional Olympic hockey since 2014 in Sochi. But that's usually the counter argument to going to these games is, well, it helps grow the game. It helps grow the game. And I believe in that. But if you look at study after study when it comes to the Olympics and the way that that's how they sell spending major money on it, time and time again, it comes back and goes, actually, there's really no significant ripple effect except for on the economy of the city that ends up holding these games. But I still believe in the momentum of this, and I really do believe that had they gone, it would have set up just an incredible finish to the NHL season with some of the narratives that would have come out of this sucker. And so I don't know if this is therapeutic. I don't know if this is good. I don't know if this makes us almost, if you create it in your mind, if it becomes a reality, one of those things, like that's a real leap, maybe some string theory here. But how do you guys... what are you guys going to miss? I asked you a question yesterday to come up with this. If we all agree that the number one thing, if you're a Canadian hockey fan, that you're going to miss about seeing Olympic hockey is no Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby on the same team. That the passing of the torch moment internationally and seeing them play together potentially on a power play, take shifts together against the Americans, just the loss of that is it's big if you're a sports fan. After that, so do we all agree that that's the number one thing we're all going to miss? Yes. Okay, you're nodding your heads in agreement. After that, what is the storyline? What is the thing from the Olympic hockey games that you are most going to miss without NHL players there? I'm going to start with you, Ailish.
Okay, I think it's just fresh in my mind because we talked about it previously, but Stamkos being able to represent his country, he's done everything but this, really. He tried so hard to make a push for Sochi after he was injured, fell short. He would be an incredible leader on that team. And we talked about last week how he was now the fourth fastest currently to hit 900 points. And I think we were talking about how underrated he was in a sense. Like, we don't really put that much respect on his name because he's down in the States and we only see him once in a while. But I really thought that this would be a great opportunity for him to put on that Team Canada jersey at the biggest stage. And then when I think about it, this is his last chance. He's going to be 36 by the next Olympics in 2026 in Milano. So I think that's a little bit of a stretch in terms of him being there. And he said that as well. Like, he was really eager to go to this, and maybe because he's a Markham guy, I also felt like a little bit of excitement to see him, a local kid, now getting to this opportunity to represent Canada. So I'll definitely miss that opportunity, and I'll be sad to not see him in Beijing.
So this was his quote yesterday. "It's disappointing. You grow up dreaming of winning a Stanley mm-hmm. Cup, and I've been able to accomplish that. You grow up wanting to represent your country and win a gold medal. That's something I probably won't have a chance to do now." Oof.
Yeah, it sucks. It's really tough to hear. And like, you can, he's been very outspoken over the last couple of weeks about this. One of few NHLers that has kind of been honest about, wow, I really want to go. This means a lot to me. Some other people were just like, yeah, I mean, if I get the opportunity, it'd be great. Like, I don't really know what's going on. I'm not going to lean too much into this. But he was wearing his heart on his sleeves in terms of how important this was going to be for him. So that sucks. That sucks as a fan.
Yeah, there's definitely a component of, you look at who would have been there now and who won't be there potentially mm-hmm. next time around. Not that next time around is a given. God, if we're learning anything here, there's no certainties of whether there's ever Olympic Games with these guys ever again. You just look at how much hockey hates the Olympics. The NHL just cannot stand sending their players there. There are just so many things working against these guys. There continues to be this trumpeting of a tournament that nobody wants, which is the World Cup or the World Championships or however they brand it. Nobody wants it, right? The Canada versus USA, we just want the Olympics. And the players mm-hmm. want the Olympics, and they care about the Olympics, and so we care about the Olympics. It is what it is. You can't replicate it. You can't try to create it in a lab. But thinking about things along the lines of Stamkos, Marchand, Bergeron, Sid, not getting a chance to see that again. Stamkos, out. Tavares, likely out. Carey Price, never donning a Team Canada uniform. Marc-Andre Fleury, not having an opportunity to be a salvation to Team Canada's goaltending issues after, you know, starting his career, essentially. Our introduction to Fleury was disappointment at the international level. Him trying to clear the puck and it going off of Patrick O'Sullivan and into the back of Team Canada's net. No redemption opportunity for him. That is a huge consideration for me, Ailish. And I know that there are some people out there, I shouldn't even do this, but if you're not a sportsman, they go, oh, whatever, it's a pandemic, blah, blah, blah. No, those are crushing moments for people to hope for their entire lives to represent their country and to go to an Olympic Games and to have that revoked last minute and know that you're never going. You could hear it in Connor Hellebuck's voice. Connor Hellebuck brought it back because he has an agent and he needs to make money someday. And he went, if you look ahead, I'll be 32. And I know I'll be still in my prime of my career, but you could hear he had some doubts about it. Blake, what are you going to miss out on the most? What's the story from the Olympics that we're going to miss the most?
Yeah, the Stamkos one is big. I think for me, this is maybe not as important, but when I think of player legacy and who stood to kind of gain the most if Canada won another gold, I think a lot about Patrice Bergeron, where, you know, he's a guy that he's closing in on 1,000 points now. He's won multiple Selkies, Clancy, Messier Award. He's won a cup. But he has a chance, or had a chance rather, to become one of the most decorated Canadian on the men's side in international play. So he's won, I mean, for however much you care about it, he's won a Spengler Cup. He won a World Junior Championship. He won a World Cup. He won a World Championship. He won 2 Olympic golds. He's, you know, one of a handful of this cohort that has the triple gold of World Championship, Olympic gold medal, and Stanley Cup. And none of those players in that club have ever won a third Olympic gold. So him, Crosby, Taves together would have had this chance to become the first 3-time gold medalists in the Olympics who also have won cups and World Championships. And I don't worry as much about it for a guy like Crosby. Like, Crosby's legacy is going to be so unassailable anyway.
Well, and he has the golden goal.
Yeah, and Bergeron's obviously going to the Hall at this point and stuff. But I think in terms of what is your legacy, Bergeron had a real chance to be like, hey, not only am I a very good and still to this day, like, a little bit underrated NHL player, I am the winner when it comes to when I suit up for Canada, we win gold. Like, we've never not won gold.
Yeah. It's hard for me to feel bad about a Bruin, but but Bergeron, that's the thing. This is always a testament to how great you are as a player, is when a fan base that you have crushed still respects you and reveres you and cares about you.
I mean, I have another one that isn't Canada related. Yeah. Ovi. I really wanted to see Ovi have an opportunity on Team Russia. Well, or
he'll
the
be
Olympic
there, though.
Athletes.
Do you guys think the Olympic that Ovi's not playing next time? He's going. Ovi's
that's
there.
The thing. Is,
2038, Ovi's on the team. He's running power play one. I feel as though he's going to be there forever. The Russian doctors are working on him 24/7 throughout the off seasons to make sure that he's good to go for any Olympic Games.
But I think that Russia had a real chance this time around with like just how incredible some of their athletes are right now to actually medal at the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And he has 3 golds at the World Championships, but he's never won a medal at the Olympics. And with the bender that he's on right now, just like racking up points, trying to chase Gretzky's record, I could have seen him having just an incredible experience at the Olympics. So yeah, I'm going to miss that narrative. Maybe we will see him again. He is kind of a machine, but no guarantees. I really wanted to see what they'd put on the ice there. Just some of their players are just wild right now.
Russia has a big time changing of the guard thing too. They would look mm-hmm. very different than Russian teams from the past. And mm-hmm. you look at the skill level of that team, the goaltending that they would have had.
Exactly.
They would have absolutely been not a consideration of medal. It would have been a favorite to medal. This is actually a good tie-in to the thing that I will miss the most, which is just the creation of new rivalries, new international rivalries. Mm. Because of that stacked Russia team, I didn't think about Russia when I first thought about it. I thought about Canada-USA. And that's just where I'll focus it. This is the best American team ever. This is the most – maybe not the best – because other teams have actually won an international competition, whatever. But this is the most talented team, no doubt about it. One thing that Canada has always had over every other country is a deeper and better blue line. Always. And it's never even been close. When you've looked at past Olympics, you go, Canada left behind 100 defensemen who would all be on every one of these teams, including the United States. This would have been the United States blue line. Adam Fox, Charlie McAvoy, Quinn Hughes, Jacob Slavin, Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, John Carlson, Torrey Krug. That's who they were choosing from. Oh, my God. Do you know how much better that is than our blue line? Better.
And
it's
a lot
better.
Of them are super young, too, which is the best part. They would have been representing their countries for the first time. There's, like, so much extra pride and motivation when you haven't been there before. And you just named, like, most of their defending core that is whether 20 or 24 years old, very young. So you're right. Like, I think that was going to be a really interesting shift, whereas Canada always had that upper kind of edge on that. I think that rivalry between USA and Canada would have been incredible. I mean, we would have saw Matthews for the first time too, which would have been sweet.
I think there's a long-term cost to that too for the US where, you know, obviously Canada has the depth of talent that you don't worry as much about something like, chemistry within the program and stuff like that. But we talk about it all the time on the Canada basketball side of like, you got to get these guys on the court together to start building those connections. And we talk about it on the women's hockey side where it's like, hey, you're going to go through this this rivalry series and centralization and stuff like that to build that out. And the U.S. has this new exciting cohort coming up that miss out on their highest leverage and most and probably like most connecting opportunity to continue building that program and get some of these guys who, you know, can look at the guy in the stall next to him and be like, yeah, we've been through this before. We know how to play together and we're committed to this long term. So I think there's a loss there in terms of just the momentum of the U.S. national program.
One thing that we've completely missed is Jack Campbell possibly being on the U.S. Olympic team. And that was just such a cool narrative to follow throughout the last couple of months where he's come out and had just a fire start to the Maple Leaf season. He didn't even know he was in the running a couple times. Reporters were like, did you know that people are talking about you going to the Olympics?
And
he's like, oh, I had no idea. But I think he was like, he's right on the cusp. And just to have like as many Leafs as possible would be really great for Toronto Sports Radio. But for someone of his, just his journey to being where he is now would have been really amazing storyline to follow. So I'm obviously disappointed, even though it would have been on the wrong team, but just to see him at that stage and see, because as we talked about many times, has he been tested enough at the big stage? He was a backup and now he's come and he's playing really well for the Leafs, but there's that question of what's going to happen in the playoffs. Is he going to be that guy? Well, I think we would have got a bit of a taste with that if he could have some of that moment in Beijing to see what's he like under pressure, what's he like at the big stage. So we're going to miss on that storyline too, sadly.
That actually speaks though to, and maybe this is how we can sort of close this thought or this talk about the Olympics, is the States was also better in net. They didn't have the center depth of Canada. Mm-hmm. Canada's forwards are just better. And you look at the States though, they're still loaded up front, right? You would have had the Tkachuk brothers just creating new levels of hatred in this country, I think, for the, I don't know if they could have played for their Canadian markets anymore. Because it's one thing to be Matthews and you have to come up with a big goal, but the two Tkachuks running goalies and hitting people and getting into scrums with people wearing the red and white, or the red, white, and black, I guess, because that's become so much of us, is that would have been tough to overcome. But yeah, that losing that rivalry, not only it's a couple things. One, to me, Canada USA has always been the thing that you strive for in hockey. It's just the best. Canada Russia, same thing. Russia, United States, too, if you're trying to build this brand up. There's other dark horse countries that would have emerged, right? Finland's always good. Sweden's always good. But I think those three were clearly front runners going into this tournament. And it was the hockey powerhouses all back with stakes again, caring again, creating those memories, creating this, yeah, real intensity to international hockey again. But also, one of the biggest complaints I heard from Canadian hockey fans, which was the most entitled and awful take ever, but it was still pervasive, so I'm not strawmanning. Oh, Sochi, we were too good. It was too easy. Canada just dominated in a way that was too easy. It was boring because we were so much better than everybody else. You know what wouldn't have happened this time around? Oh, that was, you don't remember that take from people? Oh, that was everywhere.
I thought that was made up, but I hate it.
I hate it too. Oh, yeah, you hate us being good at the thing we're supposed to be good at that we sink all the resources into? Yeah, we better be good at it. This would not have been that. This would have been a, oh my God, if we win, it's going to be a incredible celebration of things, because this is not a given. This is not trouncing a weakened American team. This is not trouncing a weakened Russia team. These two are incredible right now. These two teams are very, very high in where their international programs are right now. The idea that Canada winning would have been a walk in the park was absolutely not the case. Would have been so fun to watch that.
At least we're not going to have to see those Canadian Olympic jerseys that caused such a such a stir online when they were announced. That's a tiny bonus. And
That's it.
But we have a good text from Jason in Toronto who said they should just release the rosters anyway, so we have something to talk about. Honestly, I'm so in for that. They should be like, hey, this is who was going to make it, and you guys can discuss. Good content for us, at least.
Ailish, you are obviously the vintage sports expert on this podcast on this radio show, but yeah, also podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. You can now rate on Spotify, as JD reminded us. Nobody liked the Canada jerseys, it seemed like. Obviously there were some in production. They were going to be ready to sell these. They exist. How high do they shoot up the vintage by power rankings now? Because even though people don't like them, now it's going to be like an extremely rare potential collector's item.
Like they're heading to third world countries.
not unless you're Alex Wong, who wants to wear this at Coachella 2045. I don't think anyone's going to be pumped about it being on their like vintage rankings. I can't see it. I just didn't like it, and I'm just trying to find anything positive about this, so maybe not seeing that is something.
So before we take the break, because, yeah, but it's a great point. That's the only – there are two positives from this. One is that we don't need to ruin Austin Matthews for the city of Toronto potentially, and two is don't have to watch Team Canada in those jerseys. They get a mulligan on those. Oh, also, I hate – God, I'm so selfish for international hockey that I'm just not even going to lie. I'm not even going to pretend – I hope the Olympics get pushed to 2023. I really do. I hope that the Winter Olympics get pushed. And I'm sorry to all the athletes that have been training, all the athletes that have been quarantining. I think about the women's team, where the things that they've gone through to get here. I'm sorry. Play America 35 more times. We need these hockey games. I'm sorry. Play them 35 more times. We'll figure it out. We'll get there in 2023. So, before we take the break, I just need an update, Blake, on what's happening with the Raptors here. Because yesterday, so this is my day yesterday. I get on the train, and they cancel the Olympics for the men's hockey side. And Woj basically says, hey, every single Raptor that you've ever heard of is in COVID protocol. But then the follow-up is, but we don't know whether this game's going to be played. I'm unbelievably excited for this game until it actually tips off. What can you tell us about what's happening with the Raptors right now? Where are you at with the potential for tonight's game, the roster, everything?
Yeah, so it was especially weird for me. So I was on the Raptor show with William Liu yesterday, and as we're doing that show, we're getting the Woj tweets of like we're all the way back to Kawhi Watch, where he's like, well, the Raptors plane is taxiing right now, and the replacement players are rushing to get there, and we don't know if the Raptors are going to have enough players to play. Now, obviously, if you're in a situation like this, especially since this is the last game for a little while until Boxing Day, cancel the game. Like, if your plane is waiting on the runway, no, not sure if you have enough people to justify going who are healthy, just postpone it. No. However, and I know Raptors fans got a little upset about this because the recent meeting with the Bulls got postponed because the Bulls had too many players in protocol. Well, on Sunday, the league introduced a new rule that is effective at least through January 19th and probably through the rest of the year, where if you have any player enter protocol, not only are you allowed to replace them without affecting your cap and tax situation via what's called a hardship exemption, you have to if you have multiple players. So if you have five players in protocol, you have to add at least four. If you have two, you got to add at least one. The Raptors now have seven. Scotty Barnes, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton, Precious Achiuwa, I might be missing one, Gary Trent Jr., are all in protocols. Goran Dragic is away from the team. David Johnson is injured. Justin Champagne has a non-COVID illness. Kem Birch is still dealing with his knee thing. So, for tonight, you are down to Svi, OG, Yuta, Bing Bonga, and Woo! Chris Boucher.
Those A-list, are the this is your moment. This is
this
it.
This is
we
my Olympics.
This is it.
This is my Olympics
moment.
Those are the five players on the roster you have available, and maybe Kem Birch. So what's happened now is the Raptors, rather than canceling this or postponing it, the Raptors have been forced to add Brandon Goodwin, Tremont Waters, Nick Stauskas, Juwan Morgan, and DJ Wilson. Depending on if guys can clear and get to Chicago in time, they have to technically add at least one more. I don't know. Like, they have nine, maybe 10 guys for tonight, and half of them have never played on this team before. Like, Stauskas knows the system a tiny bit because he played with 905 last year, but it's not – there's like, you're going to scrap the system anyway. You're just going to be, like, play pickup ball. This is – it's
oh
a joke.
Goodness.
Like, it's kind of fun that Stauskas gets to finally live out his dream of playing for the Raptors. And, you know, there's some – like, I think Tremont Waters and Juwan Morgan are NBA-caliber guys who have just been kind of waiting for an opportunity. But this is a joke. Like, Svi and Bonga could conceivably start this game when they shouldn't be in NBA rotations. And the Raptors are going to be playing, you know, you're going to get, like, probably at least 100 minutes combined from guys you just called up from five different G League teams. DJ Wilson's cool, too, but it doesn't mean that this is, like...
Like, you think everyone's cool who plays basketball. Like, honestly, someone's like, I wear basketball shorts, and Blake's like, you're so cool. I want to see this guy play for the Raptors.
DJ Wilson is, like, a huge vibes guy, though. Yeah, okay. I ran into him at a wrestling event before, so I'm hoping he'll come with me to that WWE holiday tour.
Now he's checking all the boxes.
Yeah, it's a joke that this is getting played.
I was thinking about what an opportunity some of these players have, like, to live out, as you said, their childhood dreams to play in the NBA or to play in the NHL, whereas you're going to get this opportunity with half a roster that isn't NBA or NHL caliber. You're going to be called up, like, for your first ever game. You're going to get your first puck, or you're going to get your moment, and it's like nobody really cares. It's such a tainted experience. Like, I remember my first chance to play whatever, pro or Team Canada, if I looked around, it was like, none of these people are good. I would be disappointed in a sense that this is how I made it. Like, this is my memory coming into the league.
I think it sucks a bit.
Well,
big
with
time.
These guys too, every guy the Raptors have called up have NBA experience. So for them, it's more about just like getting your foot back in the door. And I think the Raptors prioritize that because those are the guys who can step in. And it's like, okay, these guys have gotten three or four call-ups before, or DJ Wilson was like on a playoff team. It's like these guys can maybe step in and help right away. But so, JD, I know you said no way when I said that it's a joke that this is being played. I do find it funny that we've gone
so... No, I was saying no way to Ailish being like, oh, I'd be so disappointed. You're walking into an NBA locker. You know how hard it is to make the NBA, like to even get within a stratosphere shot? I mentioned to you guys a story just in joking about getting lit up by a really good Canadian collegiate player over a summer run a couple of years ago. And this guy was very, very good. And he didn't get a sniff. He doesn't get a sniff. And this is a guy who was incredible in college. And you go, not even close, buddy. Sorry, not close. The NBA to make, I gotta say, is it's the hardest league to make. It's the hardest one. It's the hardest league to make. You need to be born a complete genetic freak, essentially, and then have an incredible work ethic, and then you're on a roster where there's only 12 guys that actually get to, you know, be on the bench. I know now it's like 15, or there's a weird thing with the G League, but still, to make the NBA is insane. You walk in to an arena and you get to see your name on an NBA jersey and you get to play and you step out on the court, there are other NBA players there, you're not going to be thinking about, oh, well, it's somebody. No. You're just going to say, I'm here to hoop. I'm here to make my opportunity. I'm getting a chance. That's the kind of mentality you need to get to those spots. I feel great for some of these guys getting this chance. I think it's awesome. And I also think, just my only thing that I was saying to you, Blake, of, hey, it's a joke or it's not fair, the Raptors just beat the Santa Cruz Warriors by 20 points, and I didn't see any Raptors fans complaining about the rules then. So how about this, Raptors fans? Like, shut up. Just watch them play. This is the reality of the situation. They're going to play some of these games. Adam Silver has said it over and over again. We're not stopping. We're not stopping. We're not stopping. So stop crying about how these games are going to be played and just watch it play out. Go watch Tremont Waters tonight. Enjoy it. And listen to this show tomorrow because we're going to talk about how Nick Stauskas should be replacing Svi Mykhailiuk in the rotation. Thank you.
Yeah, the only difference with the Santa Cruz game is that was a Warriors choice.
Yeah,
they chose not to bring those guys and rest them. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, everyone is going to have to deal with some semblance of
this. Exactly. It's not like just the Raptors. Remember last year when it was all the Raptors players were in COVID protocol and other teams weren't really having to deal with it to that magnitude? That did feel unfair. That was a moment where I went, holy crap, this sucks. They're down in Florida. They're the team that's dealing with all this COVID. And now it's just the rest of the NBA is dealing with this reality. This isn't just Toronto. Everyone's playing on a level foot. And this is just the way that the league is deciding to move forward. And so I just don't see the reason to be crying about it the entire time, which is what we tend to do with social media. Maybe I'm talking to too many crybabies. Do you want to take a break and do the baby A-list?
Yeah, the baby A-list.
Yes. Okay. Blake, closing thought?
No, just like, I think it's a little extreme when the situation is such that not even I am super excited about 5 G League guys getting called up. Like, yeah. Like, I had to write a piece for Sportsnet.ca explaining to everyone who these guys are yesterday. And I was like, oh, man, back in my bag. Like, let's go. But
Listen, you better sell this, Blake. Honest to God, if we watch this game tonight and you're not excited about your G League guys, I'm permanently putting a ban on all G League talk on the show. Even mentioning it will be a fine.
We have the game tonight on Sportsnet.
Yes.
Little offended they haven't tagged me in.
No. I'm offended, too. And you're a superstar. You go everywhere, and now for them not to use you here, this is going to cause hell. Blake's agent is going to be on people's ass for this. Let's take a break, and let's do the A-list. And a little bit of a draft, potentially, coming up here. It's the Fan Morning Show. The return of A-list Forfar, next.
This was me up at the top of the ski hill on Mont Tremblant. Visibility zero. Wind extreme.
No falls.
Ice. Nope, not a fall. I promise you. It was a good time. It was a fun time. It was a
cool
time.
If you didn't fall, were you really trying, though? You know, it's one of those things.
Maybe I'm just good.
Maybe. Is it likely?
Sorry about it. Are you surprised that me and my athletic system built into my bones that I couldn't
ski? You have an athletic system built into your bones, like Wolverine?
Yeah. Like, the competition level was extreme. I'm like, I'm not falling. I'm going to be better than this guy on the double black diamond. I didn't do that, though. I didn't go on any double black diamonds. I did go on a black diamond, though, and I was like, this is scary. It was icy.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, if you're describing it being icy, probably not the best time to be
scary.
Doing that.
I did go pretty slow, but nonetheless, I did go on a black diamond, and that is not part of my A-list, but this is what is.
Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
Bing bong!
What's up, baby?
Oh my god, Vic, that is so good. Did you guys know that there was a new one?
Yeah, we planned on surprising you with a new one.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, that's
Vic,
all you get.
It's so good. That's my Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Bing Bong in there multiple times.
None of us can see each other to exchange our Christmas gifts as a show, so that's it. That's what you get.
Thank you. I'm so happy. Wow. I don't think I can even continue. I'm stunned.
Yeah, you're stunned. Ailish, it's so funny. It's such an easy person to please. You just say, Ailish, you get to say Bing Bong or hear Bing Bong. And she goes, oh, that's so nice of you. I really hope Bing Bonga gets time tonight. That would be amazing.
Oh, he will.
For you.
There's no one else.
If he gets – imagine Bing Bonga has 20-10 tonight in the G League game. Come on, Bing Bonga. This is your time. This is your moment.
Oh my God. Sorry. I was just texting Vic saying, thank you for that. Love it. So great. Here's a couple things on my A-list, the new and improved A-list. So, I don't know if you guys talked about the rivalry series being canceled that final game, but the numbers were awesome for Canada versus USA over the last couple of weeks. So they played 6 games. I know we laughed about how many times they have to play each other, but the viewership went from 32,000 in the first game on October 22nd to 315,000 on that final game on December 17th. So just a good indicator that there is a need and a want to watch the women's team. Hopefully they get to go to Beijing, because that's quite the growth over 6 games just over 2 months of playing. So quick little happy side note about women's hockey, killing it.
I just hope that the people who tuned in to the final game didn't think they were watching a replay. You turn it on, it's like, wait a second, Poulin in overtime again? Didn't I just see this? Is this a replay? What's going on?
It's crazy.
Is this good. The Canadian national team in 30? What's going on here?
We're probably going to dive more into the roster questions with you later, but did they just did they make the cuts yesterday, or did they postpone that? What happened?
No, so what I understand is that today was supposed to be the day that they made the cuts, the 22nd, but it sounds like they're going to be pushing it back just a little bit longer since they didn't get to play that final game. I think that they're going to push it back just because now there's really not that final opportunity to view. But yeah, I don't really know if they've set a hard date for this. Pressure's on, though. I would not want to be in that position having to cut 3 more players.
And I don't know, like, as a player, what would be worse, the, like, finding out you're getting cut right before Christmas or having to wait through the holidays to find out if you're getting cut or not? I don't know what
wait,
it would be.
Wait.
The wait's worse?
No, the wait is way better. No, I think it's better.
Okay.
Because, no, if you get cut, then Christmas is ruined for your whole family. Everyone the whole time sees you. They have to – you see your cousin, they go, oh – so sorry. And I would snap back and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you on the Olympic cut roster? Like, no. Why are you apologizing to me? I should be apologizing to you. You sucked at hockey. I would rather have the Christmas is all about belief, right? It's all about belief. Mm. And so this
That's
just
true.
Only plays into that. So no, I'm saying wait through the holidays. What's next, Ailish?
Okay, this was a quick shout out to Blake. So Blake took care of my cat, Bandit, while I was away. And he did a wonderful job. She was well fed and very happy, and the litter box was clean when I came home. So that's a thank you to Blake. Yay!
Your cat looks like it was well fed before Blake.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Hey, you probably gave her some extra treats. You're trying to make her into a wrestler.
I did. Every time. Oh, well, I got to get a workout in, right? You've got a Peloton there, and I was like, oh, could I get a workout in? I'm like, no, I'll just lift this cat once, and that's just deadlifting Bandit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a big cat.
It is funny though. Like the second I entered your apartment, every single time, she would like come to the door and like acknowledge me, and then run immediately to the food court and just like sit there waiting on me.
Well, that's what she knew you were there for.
Yeah, is damn boy. That boy, thick boy. Damn, boy. Whenever I see your cat.
Don't fat shame my cat.
That's not fat shame. It's a thick cat. Listen, you've decided that. Cats are only the size of the way their owners decide in terms of the content of wet food present in the home. And I'm guessing in your home, you're just basically like, you've got one of those electric can openers that's working 24/7. You're doing like the Seinfeld Kramer dance when he's making sausages, I think, or whatever it is that Kramer's making. And that's you with your cat dancing around making food 24/7. So we only have a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's definitely a mistake. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
What was the mistake?
No, like to get my cat started on wet food because she just doesn't care for anything else. You're stuck with that forever.
Oh, yeah, that cat is eating good. I wanted to do it. I've done drafts before during the pandemic. It's not a completely novel idea, but it is just a way to break up a little bit of the monotony and sadness of just losing games and talking about COVID and which G League players are going to get minutes tonight. I will say, Tremont Waters, I do remember him also at LSU. After the 25 different text exchange between Blake and Daniela yesterday on our text thread, I thought, he better have a good game tonight. He better get in and play well, or else you guys are getting it in the text back and forth. I wanted to, because Ailish was on her ski trip, where they had to, you couldn't go to the bars because it was Quebec, so you just had to go. It wasn't your normal ski trip where you get to.
We never went inside in any establishments,
no,
except to pick up food that we had pre-ordered. Never went in anywhere else, so we spent every waking moment that we weren't skiing outside in our own chalet. So we were very, very safe, but we had to spend a lot of time, killing time inside the same place every day.
Right. So I want to set this up now, and we'll come back to it later, and we'll continue the draft throughout the show. So we won't do the entire draft here. But everyone should be able to relate to this, because we've all been on a vacation where either you're too hungover, you got a horrific sunburn, the weather turned against you too fast, and so it ended up raining, and you had to get stuck inside. So I wanted to do a draft of best things to do when stuck inside on vacation. We can do our first overall picks now. I'm so confident in my draft board that I don't even want the number one overall pick. I'm going to say to either of you, who would like to take it? Should it be Ailish because she was just there, or should she be last because she has the advantage of having the refresh of being in that situation?
No, I think it makes sense for her to go first. She's been on this scouting trip.
Okay.
She's been out in Latvia watching the deep prospects and stuff.
I don't like the way you said Latvia. You said it like it's a bad place to go. You said it like
you're trying to unearth the gems, right?
Yeah. Okay. So
Nikolaj.
Okay. Just a quick question about it. Is it during the winter? I thought this was like a winter time indoors, because that's a difference.
Is it? You're indoors.
Yes.
How is it?
Like sitting by the indoor handmade fire with a hot cocoa
is a big difference than
being on vacation in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, I'm taking mine in terms of versatility counts, right? Like, that's a high
level
fire, but I'm taking it as you're anywhere. You're because we don't want to just – Ailish, we can't relate to you. We don't know what it's like to be at a Mont-Tremblant massive ski chalet. I've never experienced – oh, did your butler come in wearing his mask and make that fire for you? And he was like,
truffle hot chocolate.
Ailish, is this fire big enough for you?
Yeah. I was in charge of building all of the fires, and I had a wonderful time. So my choice then, first overall draft, is playing board games and card games. Like all together, playing indoor games, especially board games. Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
It's a great pick. It's a really great pick. I had card games and board games as two separate things.
Okay,
in
let's
the draft
go with board.
No, but
games.
That's fine. No. But you'd go board games over cards? That's
no,
horrible.
Okay, just combine them. Okay.
Yes, combine.
Playing
They're
games.
Combined. I know. Card games, board games, number one pick. It's a very strong pick. Very, very strong pick. Blake, you're on the board.
So this is the scenario we have outlined here is almost literally the only scenario in which I play video games anymore. I am selecting the you have this stashed in a drawer for exactly this situation, old N64 console.
Yes.
I'm getting that specific with it.
Yes.
Four controllers. You've got Mario Kart, maybe one yes. sports game, an old wrestling
you
game.
You brought this on vacation? That doesn't count.
Yes.
No, it's not like being locked in an apartment.
No. Yeah.
I just explained that it's there for exactly these situations. I didn't pack an N60. Did you pack multiple board games for your vacation?
I did bring a board game, yeah.
But not multiple board games. They're usually these are things that are usually at the cottage, at the resort.
Yeah,
at
I'm
the
assuming
place you're
it's
going.
An air. Like I'm assuming I'm trying to think of a general Airbnb or like a friend's cottage that I've gone to or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, it's rainy. What do we do? Oh yeah, we got an N64 stored away. Let's play some Mario Kart or Mario Party and turn it into a drinking game. That kind of thing. I'm going with the old N64.
So. That is that's an elite pick. It's a great pick too because I didn't even have it on my draft board. It's one of those like this is a Luka Doncic situation where I'm like, did we have someone in our scouting department who is feuding with N64's father? Because why didn't we have N64 considered higher? No, when you are on a trip like that and you get stuck inside and there is the passing of an N64 around in terms of Mario Kart or Smash Brothers, the throwback ability to go to that, that's elite, elite, elite. So, very, very great pick. I'm torn on what I'm going to take here. But I'm gonna go with the one that is just I think more likely to get taken ahead of mine, and that is just drinking games. I'm gonna take drinking games. Drinking games is elite. You know, you're bored. You're trying to be with your friends. You play ride the bus, and all of a sudden you're drunk, and being inside is not that bad. So with my first overall selection, I'm gonna take drinking games. Do I get the next pick? Is this a snake, or do we just go back down to the
bottom?
Yeah,
we'll go snake. We'll go snake.
Okay. So then I will reveal my next pick later in the show. We have – what's up next?
Open.
Football.
We're
going to talk a little football, but we will continue the best things to do when stuck indoors on a vacation draft as well. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, Sports at 590 The Fan.